When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go paper-tarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
Go behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Car Stuff. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I am Ben Bolin.
Hey, Ben. We got an exciting program today. You know why I'm excited about this one?
Why are
because
you?
Because I've had kind of this idea that I'm going to make some money selling that project car that I bought. I thought it was going to be a fast turnaround on it. I really did. Mm. It's been kind of hanging out in the garage for a long time now, as my wife likes to tell me all the time. And, you know, she keeps saying, oh, so you're going to make a big profit on that thing, are you? Meanwhile, you know, making a small payment on it every month, and you know, just the general parts and you know things that have to go into it. But if you were to go to an auction and pick up a car at a reasonable price, a wholesale price, and turn it around relatively quickly with you know minor cosmetic changes, whatever, you could make a fair living at doing something like this, right?
Yes.
If not just a tidy little profit for a 1 week or 2 week or maybe a month or 2 month project.
Yes.
This has potential.
This, my friends, is an auto auction.
Yeah, and I think if people are aware of what's out there and what's available to them, and know their abilities, that's another thing. If you know your ability, mm-hmm. you'll know kind of the level of vehicle that you want to start with. If you want to do something like this, I think there's some money to be made.
I totally agree with you. I think one of the reasons that there are not more. There aren't more people and organizations making profits in this way is because one thing we've noticed, or I can't speak for you, one thing I've noticed, looking into auto auction information is that it's not exactly user friendly. Mm-hmm. You need to know what you are doing in order to see a return.
Yeah, I think you're right. Now, you know, it's not for the faint of heart, I guess, you know, because you have to kind of make a leap of faith at first when you first begin this whole process. Later, you'll become a seasoned pro and, you know, know what you're doing to really be able to get around these types of things. But there's a lot of different types of auctions. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of pitfalls, I guess, along the way.
Caveat emptor, as they say.
You need to be very, very careful when you do something like this. But like we mentioned, there's a lot of opportunity. Mm-hmm. We have a listener, Ben, that writes in often. His name is Ryan. If you remember Ryan from Lynchburg, Virginia.
Yes. Yeah.
Ryan, he's in the auction industry. Mm-hmm. And I just looked at his website just today, as a matter of fact, because I was trying to figure out what his role exactly was, his title. but he's in the auction industry. He designs media or advertising for auction campaigns. Mm-hmm. So he helps in these processes. But he's written in about things like, you know, when the Batmobile went up for auction.
Yeah.
He's mentioned, you know, other auctions where, a Ponzi scheme artist who they were, you know, the police were liquidating his assets, his home and all of his toys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ryan was part of this and the guy had, and Ryan sent me photos of this. The guy mm-hmm. had a garage full of go-karts and his own personal go-kart track on the property that he would use. And I saw in the photo at least, there must have been at least 8 or 10 go-karts, like you'd find at a go-kart track, you know, with the full bumpers and everything.
Yeah.
And a lot of toys, ATVs, and, you know, it looked like almost like military vehicles.
There were some mopeds, weren't there?
Yeah, there was some of that stuff. There were snowmobiles. There were all kinds of toys in this garage, and I'm sure they were just packed in there for the auction. But interesting line of work. So I was thinking of Ryan when I was putting this together.
Yeah.
But you want to go through some of the types of auctions they've got?
Sure. Let's first start with just an overview of what an auction is, which a lot of people will wonder. It seems self-explanatory, but it's a little bit different in country by country. In the mm-hmm. United States, well, basically an auction is, as you know, a very, very old form of commerce. Mm-hmm. You take one thing, for instance, in our case, it would be this picture of Pablo Picasso or this fake kind of gross feeling Triceratops toy. And you have a group of people who will compete with each other to reach the highest amount that they are willing to pay for that. Mm-hmm. And the person who's willing to pay the most will take it home, whether they want to pay $10 for this picture of Picasso or $10,000. Mm-hmm. And the auction industry in the United States is, according to the National Auto Auction Association, an elaborate network of businesses and individuals who work together to facilitate this exchange of used vehicles and the information about them. And the information is key here. And also, I would say in that definition, elaborate is key. Now, there are auction types. I guess we can kick it off. I'll say one of my favorite auction types is military type auctions.
Oh,
you can
really?
You can get under certain circumstances.
Sure. If you have to have clearance.
Right. You can't just stroll up there and go, hey, it's Scott and Ben.
Yeah, we'd like to buy a Tomahawk missile.
Right.
No, you can't do anything like that. What are you talking about here? Like helicopters? What do you want?
Well, I'm talking like decommissioned vehicles.
Okay.
So for instance, you know, decommissioned,
Jeep
this right.
products, off-road
yeah.
vehicles, yeah. Humvees, things like that?
Yeah.
No kidding. Really? You can buy military vehicles for street use, or are they for off-road use only? Do you know?
They're not for us, Scott. We can't get them.
Okay. Got it.
Maybe Ryan can tell us a way to hook it up, but that's one of my favorites. There's a thing called the GSA, which is part of the feds, and the GSA handles what they call the surplus property. Mm-hmm. Let me pull up some information on this.
Surplus section. Property. You know what? Surplus property. That reminds me, because at the end of this podcast, I've got a few websites that I want to mention to people that I think they're going to find very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of got sucked into these a day or two ago when I was looking through some of these auction sites, and I found a couple that are I'll just call them extremely interesting.
Okay.
At this point, I'll let you know what those sites are at the end. But big time wasters. I'll warn you early, because once you get to that site, you're going to and by time waster I mean a good thing, because you're going to find yourself just going after page after page after page of things, because it's got an unlimited variety of objects to choose from.
Oh, rabbit holes. Right?
That's not a bad one.
I pulled up the some information for the GSA, General mm-hmm. Services Administration. A lot of these vehicles are going to be street use vehicles. So, mm-hmm. for instance, you know, you might have a fleet of Crown Victorias that a local department uses,
mm-hmm.
Not necessarily even associated with law enforcement or police work,
mm-hmm.
just a bunch of Crown Vics. So you can get cars, trucks, other vehicles with low mileage, relatively speaking, and only one previous owner. You can also go to the GSA site to figure out what you need to do in order to become a bidder for these vehicles. And they have various locations throughout the United States and in different states. There's one in Georgia, actually, mm-hmm. that Mannheim Auto Auctions does. And they're
sure.
one of the big companies we're going to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So let me correct myself. I do not know if we can get Tomahawk missiles or helicopters. But we can get former government service vehicles.
Okay. But not likely for road use.
It looks like
I'm going to press you on this.
Yeah,
but anyways, it looks like
you can.
You're right about the can you be a qualified bidder thing, because mm-hmm. That's one thing that I found out a couple weeks ago. I was messing around going through some of these auto auction sites,
mm-hmm.
and I found a local auto auction house, or actually just an auction house. and they auction off what they even describe as like castle furniture. You know, things that like a hearth that would fit into a castle, like a big stone hearth. Or,
oh, yes. Like stuff from estate sales almost.
Yeah, like estate sale things. You know, very, very unusual items. They have full-size amusement rides, Ben, on the property.
What?
They have automobiles. They have, I don't know, pinball machines. And, mm-hmm. you know, what do they call those boats? The long boats that people row?
And rowboats.
Yeah. Yeah, something like, there's a name for them.
Yeah.
Anyways, I want to say skeleton or skulls, whatever. Anyways, I went to this auction and they claim to have the largest sale of mini and micro cars in the United States for X number of years.
Yeah, we talked about this.
I did go, I went on one of the weekend days and I didn't, mm-hmm. I never made it into the auction, Ben. I got to see the vehicles out in the lot and I walked around them and kind of, you know, looked at them. All the micro cars that they promised were there plus a lot more. And, I didn't get into the auction because I was walking in and a sheriff, a Fulton County sheriff, stopped me at the door and said, are you pre-registered? And I said, no, I'm not pre-registered. I didn't know I had to. And he said, well, yeah, you have to go over to the desk there and, you know, give them all your information before you can become a bidder.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to bid. I just wanted to watch. But I didn't feel like going through the whole process of doing all that just to see, you know, some of the process that was going on because they were doing a lot of other things, not just vehicles. But you did have to go pre-register where you give them credit information, you know, your history.
Your social security number.
Yeah, all of that information. You have to give them the personal information to let them know that you're a qualified bidder and that you do intend to pay if you purchase a vehicle, if you say you're going to purchase a vehicle. Mm-hmm. Because that's illegal to go into an auction and falsely raise the bid, you know, for somebody. Because you could be working in cahoots with somebody else and say,
right.
I'm going to bid all the way up to $10,000 and that way we'll be sure we get $10,000 for the sale. And then, you know, from that point, it doesn't matter. You know, there's a lot of illegal mm-hmm. little motions or moves that can happen if, you know, somebody who doesn't have all the best intentions gets in on that sale and somehow drives the price up.
Now, yeah, as listeners know, Scott, you and I are fairly strong advocates of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
But in this situation, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're probably on the same page with me in this one. If you want to be a bidder, you should be prepared to give your private information.
Yeah.
And I think it's completely reasonable to ask because otherwise this kind of two-person con you're talking about or multiple-person con would be extremely common.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? This applies to any and all types of auctions, even if you're talking about the online auctions.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, it's just – well, look at eBay.
Yeah.
You have to provide personal information. It's your own account and you're known by a name, a username.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you're anonymous in that way, but your information is stored somewhere and they do know how to track you down and they do know your PayPal information or whatever.
Yeah.
So there is some accountability to the online auctions as well. There has to be full accountability, really.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about the five, there are really five different types of auto auctions if you want to talk about
them. Yeah, break them down.
There's the online auto auction that I just mm-hmm. mentioned, and that's really, it's basically the same thing as a live auction. I mean, really, if you think about it, because it's just kind of a back and forth between people.
With a definite deadline.
Exactly. With a definite deadline that counts down. Whereas in a you know, face-to-face type auction, that deadline isn't really there. It's just however long you want to go.
Yeah.
But one of the downsides to the online auction aspect of this is that you don't get to see or inspect the vehicle ahead of time.
Yes. I'm glad you said that.
Just photos.
There might be some information from a certified source, like you mm-hmm. might be able to get a Carfax
mm-hmm.
Report, but you will not be able to drive the vehicle beforehand to check out performance,
well,
AC.
In most cases, you won't be able to do that anyways at an auction.
Yeah.
You'll be able to look at it. You maybe even be able to start it.
Mm-hmm.
But some of them won't even allow you to get into the vehicle. Which there's different rules at every auction facility. Some don't allow kids on the lot. Some don't allow mm-hmm. you to touch the vehicles. Some allow you to see them, you know, a week ahead of time, where others will allow you to see them, you know, just the day of the auction. So mm-hmm. there's different rules all around. Next type of auction, there's a wholesale auto auction. And this is the type that are typically dealers only.
Yes.
Auto dealers only. And this is something that, you know, you have to be a licensed, registered auto dealer in your state or, you know, mm-hmm. county or however you do that locally.
I think have your tax ID number.
Exactly. You have to have all the information to back up that you are a licensed dealer and a used car dealer. And, mm-hmm. You know, this is where you might find like, expired lease cars, or you might find rental cars that are being sold. You might find cars that people have just simply traded into other dealer lots.
Yeah.
But you also may find some exotic cars and just used cars in general.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, this is the type of thing that, you know, wholesale sales of vehicles, this is where you can make some money, really, because this is where, you know, wholesale prices is what you're looking for at an auction anyways. You're not really looking for retail. You want a wholesale price. And I don't know. This seems like a good opportunity for a lot of people, I think.
Yeah, one of the primary benefits of an auction is just the pricing is distinct, you know, from what you would regularly see if you were buying at a MSRP, you know, manufacturer's suggested retail price.
Or even on a dealer lot. You know, a used lot. Even if we're talking about used vehicles, we're talking about, you know, you can forget the MSRP number on a used lot. You can, you're thinking it more like, there's the wholesale price, then there's a retail price, and then there's a price that you may pay an individual if you buy it. Mm-hmm. There's a price you may pay the dealer if you buy it. And, you know, you can make your own decision as to what you want to go for in this. But, you know, once you're at an auction, if you get a little crazy, if you go a little beyond what you should, you need to stop bidding at a certain point. You've got to set parameters for yourself. You know, be smart about it, because if you go beyond what really you're comfortable paying with for this, and then you go to the point where, you know, you could have picked one up at retail price for the same amount and had more time to make the decision, and maybe gotten a model that was lower miles, or that you would have been able to you know, have inspected ahead of time.
Yeah.
You're making a mistake at that point, really. So know your limits.
Yeah, I've got two things that are kind of sidebars to that. I'll come back to them after we go down the list.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, I don't want to derail us.
No, that's right.
One of the things that we definitely need to touch on is the issue of the actual purchasing. And we'll go, after we go through the rest of the types of auctions, let's get to the actual purchasing, because one thing that people maybe are familiar with in most car buying situations, if you buy from a dealer as an individual, then you have the luxury of financing.
Mm-hmm.
And that luxury is fairly non-existent. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say fairly non-existent, because you can work out a financing arrangement with another party before you go to the auction.
Sure. You could call your credit union and say, I'm going to an auto auction. I want to be cleared for a loan for, you know, a 5-year-old vehicle, nothing older than that. And I mean, you could set up parameters and say that, you know, this check that you give me, this ready-made check, if they do that at that credit union.
Right.
Cannot exceed $10,000, or cannot exceed $5,000, or whatever your limit is.
Mm-hmm.
And as long as they agree to the terms and they know you as a good customer, you know, you've got the credit to back that up, they'll allow you to do something like that. But aside from that, you're on your own on these things.
Yeah. When you go to the auction, when you're at the auction location, if you bid and you decide that you're going to, let's say you're entering into some sort of bang 'em up car rally, and you have an option to pay between $500 to $800 for a car.
Mm-hmm.
You need to have that $500 or $800 ready to go.
Yeah,
you can't pay them $50 a week.
No, that's right. You're not going to say to the auctioneer, like, that's great, here's a $400 deposit, and I'll just take the vehicle.
Yeah.
It's just not going to work.
That's not how it happens. Other type?
Let's see. The next type is, you know what? Next type is, the number three is just the general public auto auction.
Right.
This is one probably most people are familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the one that's open to just about anybody, really. But you still have to go through the registration process that we talked about. But there's a lot of these around. If you really scour the newspapers, or if you go online and search for just public auto auction, you're going to find something in, you know, within driving distance of your home, I can just about guarantee.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. And honestly, I don't know, Ben. I've walked through a couple of public auto auction lots, and I don't know. There's a reason maybe those cars are up for auction.
Yeah, a lot of times it is sort of ideally, theoretically, if everything works out, what you're doing is using your knowledge of this system to save money on a car that isn't perfect, but that you can fix.
Mm-hmm.
In practice, what will happen if you do not prepare is that you will quite possibly get stuck with a car that you didn't really want once you find out more about it.
Yeah, you may be driving home from that auction and find out that the transmission slips. And then what are you going to do? Because, you know, you weren't given the opportunity to drive it ahead of time, and that wasn't disclosed in the information. You know, then suddenly you've got a $2,000 car that you think is a steal that suddenly has a $1,500 repair, you know, within the next month. There's a chance for this anywhere, really. But
yeah.
But the thing about this is, you know, that with auto auctions, and you mentioned before, you're on, you know, we said you're on your own. Well, there's no refunds. You can't come back to the auto auction house and say, you know, I bought this car and, you know, didn't expect it to have this transmission problem. I'd like my $2,000 back. Mm-hmm. They're gonna laugh at you and say, well, why don't you put it back in the auction? And, by the way, we'll take our 10% cut or whatever. It's not that they're being cruel or whatever. It's just that's the risk you take when you play this kind of game, because, you know, you don't get that chance to drive the vehicle. You don't get a chance to take it to your preferred mechanic and have it checked out.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really climb all over the vehicle and inside it and check it out the way you normally would in a typical sale. And you may or may not even get a Carfax, like you mentioned. That's kind of a, I don't know, I would think not every one of them is doing that. I think that some would.
Some vehicles don't even have a title.
That's true. Yeah, you get the title. You know, we'll talk about that in a minute you know, later we get to some of these other auctions. Well, you know what?
Yeah.
Let's go to number four, and then there's
a
fifth one as well. There's also government auctions and police auctions.
Yes.
Now, these are interesting because –
conventionally known as repo auctions.
Yeah. Now, these can be tricky as well because there's repossessed vehicles. There's impounded vehicles, which, you know, like maybe traffic violations, people that have warrants out that, you know, or a lot of states, you know, if there's a prostitution ring going on or
right.
something, they've got a sting set up.
Yeah.
The cars are confiscated. They're seized.
Mm-hmm.
Those cars go up for auction sometimes if they don't allow them to purchase them back from an impound lot.
And this can also happen in some states for things like drug-related crimes.
Exactly. Yeah, these are crime-related vehicles that have come from bad people in some way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or you know they've been abandoned on the side of the road, or a lot of times you know this can go either way, Ben. This can be the abandoned car on the side of the road that had its windows down in the rainstorm for 4 days before anybody towed it.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, somebody that has an $800 junker that was, you know, cruising for prostitutes in the bad part of town and the car was impounded.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be the drug dealer that drives the brand new Maserati that, you know, he was unfortunate to get caught, 3 months after he bought this brand new car and has low miles and it's spotless.
Yeah.
That happens rarely, but it does happen.
It does happen. It doesn't happen as often as a lot of bidders would like.
Yeah, that's right. Because people comb these ads, these sites for police auctions that contain such vehicles, and you know, it's very very rare to find something like that. That kind of pops up.
Diamond in the rough.
Exactly. It's the unicorn.
There we go.
Yeah. I read that in an email from someone.
Yeah,
else about
the NSX.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, someone said it gives it unicorn status. Yeah, that's right. That's a good way to put that.
And our fifth and final.
And the fifth and final is the insurance auto auctions, which let's see, insurance auctions are the kind where typically, and this is bad news, really, the car's been totaled.
Yeah.
These are the cars that the insurance company now owns because, you know, there's been a serious accident that made the car undrivable. They've paid out the claim on the car, but it becomes their property.
Right. And this could be something, again, it could be something varied because the vehicles here can be marked as totaled if the cost of repairing them exceeds the cost of the worth of the vehicle.
Yeah, the current value of the vehicle.
Right.
So let's say you've got a front engine car that's an exotic car of some kind. And, you know, the back end gets smashed in. I'm sure there's going to be frame damage. There's going to be axle damage. And, you know, expensive items, right? But somebody may look at that and say, you know what, I can fix that. And suddenly I've got a, you know, whatever the car is for half the price.
Or even just the engine could still be.
Exactly.
Remarkable.
It could be salvageable for parts, you know, if they want them for parts. But, these salvage vehicles are ones that, you know, have a salvage title. The cars that, you know, are unless you've got to be able to – I'm trying to put this the right way because you have to be the right kind of buyer to buy a salvage vehicle. You can't just walk in off the street and buy a salvage vehicle, I don't believe, and be able to get that car properly titled once again. I think you have to have a license in order to do so. Is that correct?
I believe so. And if you do – and here's the thing. I think some people will probably hear this episode and – be bothered by the fact that there is registration and that you do have to be licensed in some cases to carry through with these, but also think about the think about the relative advantages, because there aren't very many. If you're just average John Q. Public and you go to an insurance auction like this and you see a really sweet, let's stick with a Maserati. You see a really sweet Maserati and it's got extensive damage to the back right. Okay. And, that would be expensive because it's the frame and also the wheel is messed up. But you buy it and you think, you know what? I am just going to somewhere. I'm going to find a mechanic buddy of mine and he's going to fix it up.
Yeah. I'm going to find the panels. I'm going to have it painted, get the glass.
It's very easy to think you'll do that stuff and still save money. But insurance companies are fairly accurate. And by fairly, I mean very accurate with their estimations.
Well, they pay people to do that.
Right. They have adjusters whose entire job is to do that. So again, it goes back to a point that we cannot overemphasize. Let the buyer beware. You have to be the right kind of buyer.
Exactly. Yeah. These, the salvage titles, you know, you'll find if you look for salvage vehicles, if you just do a search for these, I'll be honest, there are some really, really tempting deals on these things. You'll find you'll find Ferraris that have been in floods. You'll find you know, the Maserati with the rear end damage, like you're mentioning. You'll find Corvettes, you know, that have been rolled over that don't look that bad, but you know what? To replace every panel on a Corvette and whatever else is wrong with it, you know, it's going to cost you, you know, not only the cost of the vehicle in the auction, which looks exceedingly cheap, but still is pretty expensive. Then you're going to have to repair every single panel, and then what's underneath. You're looking at, you got to remember what's underneath, because that's the key in those types of auctions. And, you know, the flood vehicles, I can't say enough about how bad of an idea that is. You know, people buy it thinking like, well, I'll just replace the wiring. No problem. You know, it's dried out. Everything should be fine.
Sure.
New.
Like in Hurricane Katrina, in the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina, thousands of vehicles had extensive flood damage.
Yeah. Do you know, we're still around here in Georgia, we still hear commercials on the radio saying, be wary of some of these used car deals because there may be, they may be flood vehicles from Katrina still.
Yeah.
In this area, and understandably so. I mean, and that's going to be happening up in, you know, Missouri this year. You know, from all the flooding that they've had, and there's, there's floods everywhere. Just be careful.
I've got something actually that might help some of our listeners
to,
you guys, this will just be a quick and dirty look at some of the things you should know as you're buying a vehicle at an auction. Okay. So let's say you're registered. Let's say you – let's go a step further and say that you have been registered before and you are familiar with the location you're at. One of the first things you want to do is prepare for the sale day. Now, if you can get a pre-sale inspection, like Scott says, you are probably not going to be able to drive the vehicle. In fact, it would be odd enough for you to do it that you would probably remember it. And if you're like most bidders, you would probably push hard the next time. So there's a reason people don't do it. But what you want to do is get there as early as possible and go around the pre-sale lot to assess the vehicle conditions and see, first off, see if there's anything there you want to buy.
Makes sense.
So there's a lot of thought put into where the vehicle is located and the information available. Each seller is usually selling more than one vehicle. It would be extraordinary at these sort of auctions for one person to be selling one vehicle.
Really?
Well, at when I say these sorts, I mean insurance, police,
government. I got it.
Public auctions, you can see it.
Yeah.
So the person or the organization that is selling these vehicles will have a run list, and that's going to be a list of all the vehicles they're selling that day. If you are familiar with the sellers, then you probably know the people who have the kind of vehicles that you're looking for. And so you're going to try to get the run list, which you can get online and you can get it through a fax beforehand. But your best bet is to go for the list the day of the auction.
Okay.
Because that's going to be the most complete list. The, of course, like a regular auction, like a normal or non-vehicle auction, you'll see the block where the seller, the auctioneer, and some other staff are working on the sale of the vehicle. So these vehicles go through lanes, and usually when the vehicle's going through a lane, the seller is going to be up there to be present during the sale, or at least a representative of that organization. And then
to answer any quick questions they may have, right?
Right.
Okay.
Precisely. Just so. And then at some places, you'll see some of these auctions, man, they're big. They've got.
So how many lanes?
Yeah, right.
You're talking like 8 lanes, 6 lanes, what? I mean, huge.
Yeah, you're talking enough lanes to, and enough people bidding that oftentimes, an auctioneer is not going to be able to be up there by their lonesome. So they have ringmen.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, they have.
Ben, this sounds so confusing.
This is like any other established system. It only seems confusing if you don't take it one step at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like we're talking about this process. Here's another thing you need to know: floor price. A seller can put a floor price on vehicles they're selling, and that's the lowest price they'll take.
Okay, so it's like a reserve.
Yeah, it's
okay.
Exactly like
okay,
reserve.
Vehicle reserve.
So this isn't that crazy, right?
No.
And then there's another thing that I think is pretty neat. Something I would try. There's a thing called an if bid. You can place a bid that says you'll pay this price if the seller will agree to it within a certain amount of time.
Oh boy.
It's the epitome of the hard offer, right?
Really?
Yeah.
What type of frame do we have here? Like what time frame? I mean, is it like 30 seconds? Like I'll pay you $10,000 if you take it within the next 30 seconds.
It can't be that low.
Oh, okay.
It can't be that low, but it does have to be a reasonable one, but it does vary.
Oh my gosh.
Now there's something else that I want to go, I know I'm going on a monologue here, but there's one thing we do need to talk about. There are lights above an auctioneer. Have you heard about these?
No.
Okay. So lights above an auctioneer can indicate the conditions, under which a vehicle is being sold. And I've got, this is from the National Auto Auction Association. There are 4 lights that they'll show. The one you're looking for, the one that'll make you the happiest, is a ride and drive, a green light. So that means it has everything is fine with the drivetrain, engine, transmission, the rear end.
Hmm.
It's good to go. The yellow light, of course, is caution, which means it's being sold under some announced conditions. So this would be the car that they're selling. They say, okay, this car is, you know, this is a 2004, whatever.
Fixer upper.
Yeah. 2004 Monte Carlo, good condition, transmission, not so much.
Oh, okay. Got it.
And, red light. This is our pig in a poke situation.
Okay.
This is where, you know, it's a 76 DeSoto and it's $400. That's all you need to know.
I understand. I know what you mean.
And then blue light is what we were talking about earlier. This is the last one. There's not a title on the premises. So this is called a title absent. So if the vehicle is sold, then the seller has a period of time to deliver the title to the buyer.
How many people do you think will write in and say there was no 76 DeSoto?
Well, I'm waiting.
how about none, because we just caught the air right there. How about that?
Hey, yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Was it an error? How many people are going to go back through and say that?
Yeah, okay.
That's fine. I fumbled that
one. No, don't worry about it. That's I completely get your point. I know what you mean. So you got these lights above the auctioneer, and I had no idea that there was that kind of system going there as well.
Given the volume of people, it seems reasonable.
Okay, I understand that. Now, and with the lanes and have you ever seen a true dealer auction, like where dealers are picking up cars for the used lots and it seems like 8, 10, 12 lanes wide, maybe even more. And, there's just a flurry of activity on the floor. And these guys buy maybe hundreds of cars in a weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And have them, you know, picked up with car haulers and haul them to their lots. And I mean, it's big, big business.
And it's year round.
Exactly. And the lots that they store these things in are massive. I mean, you know, sometimes when the auctions aren't happening and auto production, you know, builds up, they sometimes store vehicles there. That's how big these lots are, because, you know, they'll put thousands of vehicles in these lots. It's like, it's almost like stadium parking, only with new or, you know, slightly used vehicles sometimes, but, you know, massive, massive facilities. And I can't imagine just the chaos that's going on, but it's controlled. It's very, very controlled.
Sure. Yeah. There are mainframes, tracking the transactions that take place at the auction. There are also handheld computers that auction personnel use to keep track of everything.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I guess a close analog I could come to would be Wall Street. How when you look at pictures of Wall Street and the people physically bidding with hand signals, it looks like pandemonium.
Mm-hmm.
But in truth, there is a method that only looks like madness to people on the outside.
It's a good way to put that.
Well, thank you.
You know what? I think I've got a couple of things that I want to wrap up with here.
Yeah.
If you're all set with this, because You know, I promised earlier a couple of websites that people could go to and kind of check some of these things out and find out some of the, you know, aside from just the general auto auction information, you know, that we've given you, you know, you can find that at, what was the site that you mentioned? The National Auto Auction Association?
Yes.
And, you know, some of the sites that I got kind of, I don't know, kind of sucked into here, you know, over the last few days. And I'm not lying. I'll probably go to these later just to check them out again today.
Mm-hmm.
I started searching for police auctions and police auctions in my city. And
yes,
you can do that. You can go on Google and you can search your city police auction, or you can search property auctions, or you can search you know, vehicle auctions or whatever. But I was searching police auctions, and they say that after 5 weeks, you know, this is materials that have been, you know, confiscated from, let's say that, you know, they find somebody tooling around town and they pull them over for, you know, making a right turn on red or whatever.
Yeah.
And the person's loaded with stolen goods.
Okay.
They've got speakers. They've got jewelry.
Crates of Blu-ray players.
Yeah. They've got guns. They've got ammo. They've got all kinds
wow.
of stuff, right?
This has to be a van.
Well, this is, I mean, whatever. You know,
yeah,
it's small groups here and there. You know,
yeah,
it's radar detectors, whatever. The site for my particular city here in Georgia says that after 5 weeks, and they list all these items, and they don't know who the owners are, but if the owners don't claim them in 5 weeks, then they go to a place called the property room for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, where's the property room here in the city? And it turns out property room is – it's propertyroom.com. And you go to – you click the link. Propertyroom.com is a list of – I would guess hundreds of police agencies, maybe even thousands of police agencies that compile all of their goods into one location for like an online sale. And they've got jewelry. They've got collectibles. I mean, you know, like,
they've got computers too, don't they?
They've got computers. They've got what else do they have? They have cars. You know, that's one of the things. They have tools. They have just about anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all arranged by you know, you can sort this down into whatever you want, you know, like quick deals, like that are going to expire, you know, going to end in 5 minutes from now. They've got lots of goods, which are, you know, like maybe a whole desk full of things that they take photographs of and
yeah,
tell you what's there. But, you know, it may be only $10 or $12 for that. And two people have bid on it so far. bid increments are a dollar or something like that. But, you know, I went to the cars and started looking at them, and you'll find a lot of Crown Victorias.
Find Is that a lot why of, you laughed when I said
Well,
that?
Yeah, and the Chargers and things like
yeah,
that. But a lot of them have the rear seat pulled out and things like that. You know, and a lot of the wiring is exposed because they had specialty wiring. You know, they're painted police cruiser colors. You know, they may have damage because that's why, you know, they're getting rid of them. They decided to just trade it instead of fix it.
Yeah.
But or you may get a canine car that, you know, a dog has been sitting in for 100,000 miles.
Did you bid on anything?
No, I didn't. But there's some pretty sweet looking, you know, old used up police interceptors that, you know, they've got 211,000 miles on them, but, you know, they're only $2,000.
Okay.
So, you know, and it's got a big V8 engine, decent shape,
but
high mileage. There's a lot of sites like that. And one thing that site led me to, that propertyroom.com, led me to other state surplus listings. And the state surplus listings are sold, through eBay or through a site called govdeals.com.
Yes.
And then there's another one that's called publicsurplus.com. And, it's got just all kinds of service vehicles, abandoned vehicles, seized vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just police cars. It's vehicles that they've, you know, taken in stops or, you know, like we mentioned, seized vehicles. But one of the other things they have is like almost like chop shop items, Ben. Like anything when they close down a chop shop.
Really?
If they can't locate the owners of the parts, or if the part, you know, it's just parts to a vehicle and somebody's
yeah,
already paid out the insurance on this thing and it's all done, you'll find that a pallet of like Ford V8 heads that you can buy, you know, like 10 V8
yeah,
heads for sale. And you might find, you know, like Chevy blocks for sale. You'll find 7 Chevy blocks for sale in this lot. And, you know, the bid is $500 for all of them.
Wow.
Just you'll find cutters. You'll find welders. You'll find ladders, jewelry, any kind of watch you want, shoes, anything, whatever. It's all there. So, like I said, I spent a lot of time looking at this stuff, just combing through it. But the vehicles, I tell you, they're interesting to look at.
We've gotta go there. I've gotta check that out. I wanna do just a couple quick things to wrap up, I promise. This is such an exciting topic, you guys, and we're touching the proverbial tip of the iceberg. One, there is a myth that people have with police auctions, and I had it for a time too, and that's that you will automatically get a dirt cheap good car if you go to a police auction. but still remember there are other bidders there, and it's just like bidding on eBay or something. There are a lot of people who don't know how much they should or should not pay for a product, so they may very easily make the bid spiral out of control. So how do you know how to find the right price? Well, there's this little black book that a lot of bidders can use, and this is a pocket size subscription-based car pricing book. It gets updated once a month with the regional selling prices from wholesale auctions. And so if you're going to get serious about this and you're really going to spend some time on it, it's worth your time to look into getting that.
For sure, because that goes right along with setting limits, like you mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Or you have to.
Yes. If you don't want to lose the house and home.
Yeah, because a lot of people get caught up in the bidding and they'll go beyond what they thought they were going to. And, you know, losing the home, that's a little bit extreme, but you may go beyond your budget. And that's no fun for anybody.
And so check out some of the websites we've mentioned. The one Scott mentioned, the National Auto Auction Association. Check out carbuyingtips.com. And just educate yourself before you get involved with this. There are some places where you can actually go to a mock auction and you can see how this proceeds before you have any money riding.
Oh, that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. And
I know you can do that.
Yeah, I've been thinking about checking out one of those.
Cool. Because this is tempting.
Isn't it?
It is. When you look at the numbers and you see the low bids and the bid increments.
Yeah.
And then you realize that, in fact, a lot of times they'll even tell you that this item. And I'll tell you, I was looking at watches.
Okay.
And you might find a luxury watch, a Tag Heuer. I can't even say the name. Tag Heuer. There you go. That, they'll say that it's valued at $12,500. Mm-hmm. And the bids right now are currently at $350. You know, the bid increments are $10. Yeah. Why would you not get on something like that?
You'd be crazy not to.
The reason is because somebody's probably set a limit, and then, you just continue to bid until you go crazy, and then eventually it gets up to $10,000, and do you really want a $10,000 watch anyways?
Not anymore. You don't want to be in that situation where there's 10 minutes left and you're hoping someone will bid $10,001.
That's right. And, the same thing happens with cars. They'll catch you on it. So be cautious.
And I've got to say, what a flub. That was like the worst flub I've made. 76 DeSoto.
That's all right.
Nobody tell my dad.
Don't worry.
We're going to get out of here so I can get back on my A game. Please let us know about your experiences with auctions. We hope that you've had some good ones. We'd especially love to hear some more stories when it comes to buying weird vehicles. So hit us up on Facebook and Twitter. You can find us on our website. And you can also send us an email directly at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes.
What do the most successful growing businesses have in common? They're working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
What's up, y'all? Janice Torres here.
And I'm Austin Hankwitz.
We're the hosts of Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories, a podcast presented by iHeartRadio's Ruby Studios and Intuit QuickBooks. Join us as we speak with small business owners about the tools they use to turn their ideas into success.
From finding that initial spark of entrepreneurship to organizing payments and invoices, we've got you covered. So follow and listen to Mind the Business, Small Business Success Stories on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
So, should we go electric?
I think we should go electrified with Toyota.
Electrified?
Electrified means options. Yes, we could go all electric with a Toyota bZ4X, but then there are hybrids like Grand Highlander, or we could do something in between like a RAV4 plug-in hybrid.
So Toyota is electrified diversified?
Yep, and with more options for reducing carbon emissions, the closer we all get to Toyota's Beyond Zero vision for the future.
Exactly how much coffee have you had this morning?
Learn more about our Beyond Zero vision for the future at toyota.com/beyondzero.